Okay, Rabbi Zimmerman is out of town, so I asked Rabbi Carr, he'll be here tomorrow morning. Mirch Hashem will be back Friday morning. I couldn't, tomorrow morning was one of these ifs. To make my flight, can I say the daf? Can I not say the daf?
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Hoberman, Rabbi Hoberman's son. Can I say the daf? Can I not say the daf? It was one of those. Maybe I could, maybe I couldn't, maybe I would miss my ass. So I decided not to have that. Even though I love to say daf, I mean, I love to say the shir, but, you know, I took my chance. No, it's a schuss, so I hate to give it up. Okay. We just had a machloikas. We're going to go back. We're going to start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Osman Azariah said, you give it to the Kayan, Skahana Merkol B'nai Levi. Das Pei Vav Amad Beis. Right? He said that Kahana Merkol Levi. So Rabbi Kiva reacts that over here it can't be that way. Over here, Kahanim have to mean, Levium have to mean Levium, not Kahanim. When you give Meister Shait and Rishon, right? The Machlokes says, you give Meister Rishon to the Kayin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, yes. Either Pasuk says, give it to the Levium, Kahanim or Levium.
Shevet Levi.
Shevet Levi. And Rabbi Kiva says, here it can't mean that. Why not? We're going to start. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line from the top. Last word on the line. Pei Vav Amud Beis, 86B1. Rabbi Kiva, how can we must disarmament? Here you can't say that. Says you should eat the meiser anywhere. That means you're allowed to eat meiser rishon everywhere. Everywhere includes a cemetery. Only people who are allowed to go into a cemetery can eat meiser, are the ones you give again. Of course the kohen can eat meiser rishon. But it says give it to the Levi and he'll eat it everywhere. Well, that means you're giving it to someone who can eat it everywhere. So therefore, he's not included in the midst of giving. Again, he can eat my tradition. But the Torah is telling you to give it to someone who can eat it everywhere. He can't eat it everywhere. That means you can't give it to him. What does your blessed Ben Zariah do with that pasuk? Meant is you don't need to eat it in your shalayim. Unlike other things that have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, this can be eaten in B'chol Mokum. Doesn't mean literally in a cemetery. It means anywhere as opposed to just having to eat it in Yerushalayim. And Yahweh Lebetumas Hagavloi Lucky. Again, there's no issur to eat Maiser Rishon when you're Tameh, which is different than Truma and different than Maiser Sheini, right? So therefore, that's included in B'chol Mokum, meaning no restrictions on where and who eats it.
Situation.
And not Betumah, right?
The situation.
Right. And therefore, that's the Machlokes of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Kiva. Whether you give the Maaser Rishon, can you, again, biblically, give the Maaser Rishon to the Kayan? We had that same Machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, at the beginning of the Amud Aleph. Can you give your Maaser Rishon to a Kayan? Rabbi Meir said no. He's a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, who also said no. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said yes. Now, what happened is a story, and then we're going to talk about the Takana of Ezra. We're going to see coming up. Ahi Ginza, there was a garden, and it was owned by Rabbi Kiva. That's what it seems from this story. At least the Mepharshim assume Rabbi Kiva was the owner of that garden. That was Shakur Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, my Sarishimina. Elazar ben Azariah took Maaser Rishon, I guess, before Rabbi Kiva owned it, the owner of that field used to give the Maaser Rishon to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was a Kayan. And he got the Maaser Rishon out of that garden. I don't think he took it without permission. It was given to him. You don't grab Maaser Rishon. He collected it. Also, Rabbi Kiva, I had to lepiska lebei kivri. So Rabbi Kiva went and changed the door of the garden, then it went to a cemetery. Would preclude Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from being able to come into the garden to ask for Maaser Rishon. He can't get there. The only way to the garden is to walk through a cemetery. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah can no longer go there. And that's why they assume it was owned by Rabbi Kiva. Who is he to change the layout? I lost it now?
No comment.
Well, Okay. So other Rebbe Kiva, Ahadra Lepitzcha LeBeit Kivri. I didn't pound yet today. There's no way I could have lost them. He turned the door to the Beit HaKvaras. Amar, Sir Blazer Ben Azariah said, and there's multiple pshatim of this. Akiva B'Tarmilai V'Anachai. He referred to the fact that once upon a time Rebbe Kiva was a shepherd. He said Rebbe Kiva can go with his flask that he carried as a shepherd. I make a living anyway. He was a very rich man, Rebbe Blazer Ben Azariah. He didn't need the Maaserishin. He said, let Rebbe Kiva do his thing. Meaning, he was once, like, referring to him once upon a time, he had been a shepherd. Like, let him carry his flask. I can make my living without his Maaserishin. Meaning, I guess, the way they, some of like Rosh Lord, it was a way of reacting a little bit sharply to the fact that Rebbe Kiva decided to take matters and cut him out of the Maaserishin. So he said, you know, Rebbe Kiva can go back to his flask, and I can make my living without this Maaserishin. He was a very wealthy man.
Isn't that like saying, you know, we say you can't torment someone that you shouldn't try him?
So again, I'm just telling you how to Mepharshim learn it. This is a big shaila of Mepharshim. Why was he speaking derogatory about Rebbe Kiva? He's Rebbe Kiva. I mean, it was his friend. But, you know.
Is that how Rebbe Kiva?
Well, he held up walking through the blessing of the tire. He's not supposed to get it.
He changed the
doorway to the cemetery. That way, a kohen can't come in. Well, as good as I used to come in to the thing, can I have my Maaserishin? Can I get? I'm coming to collect. You know, I'd like Maaserishin. Is there any Maaserishin here for me? Rebbe Kiva didn't want him to do that because he's a kohen. Rebbe Kiva holds he can't give it to him.
Sorry. If it did,
it's his field. That's a Shiloh. Was it his field? Was it somebody else's field? Was it somebody else's field? How did Rebbe Kiva change the door? I don't know. This is technicality that I'm not clear in. The Mepharshim go different ways on this.
I thought it was a poor
offering. Who? Once upon a time. That's what he's saying. Rebbe Kiva can do his job being poor. I'm rich anyway. I don't need this for my living. Meaning, okay, so he precluded me from taking my Maaserishin from here. Wonderful. Let's move on. I have no pshat. I'm just translating the words of the Gemara. Some of Varshim say, I don't know, there's different pshat. What does Archgold say? How does Archgold complain? There's different. Does he say in the bottom anything?
Making two flags. The person is previously no more than a shepherd. Second, regardless of what he does, that means he's like,
right, which is what I'm saying. No, you were a shepherd. Meaning, I think he disagreed in halakha. He held Rebbe Kiva was wrong. So he said, you know, let Rebbe Kiva do his thing and leave me alone. I can manage on my own. I have no pshat. Again, there are mepharshim that want to learn different pshatim, but this is the simple pshat in the Gemara. Rashi. Akiva b'tamila mishin Rebbe Kiva ride the Kalba Svua, but he was once the shepherd for Kalba Svua. Tamiloi is chemes sha'ar, it's a flask of leather. Beraya naisen bapitai, a shepherd usually puts his lunch there. The title of a tavara. Period. Okay, so this machloikas, and this is going to be the gay as we go along, is pre Ezra Hanukkah's time. This machloikas is biblically. Who is deserved? Who can you give Maaserishin to? Are you limited to the Levi, or you also can give it to a kayan? Rebbe Kiva, and we had Rebbe Meir earlier, say the Torah wants you to give it to a Levi, not to a kayan. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says Levi means Shevet Levi, it includes kayan as well. That's machlokes. We know historically that they punished the Levium. They punished the Levium. Ezra HaSeifer. Ezra HaSeifer punished the Levium. The Gemara will say why in a moment. I can cheat. The Gemara says that Ezra HaSeifer came up from Bavel. No able-bodied Levium came along with him. He had to go and get them, send for them. They didn't come along with him. And therefore he was angry at Shevet Levi. Of all the Yidden, they were not represented. Now he did not come with all the Yidden. He came with a very small fraction of the Yidden. But everybody was represented. Able, what?
Every tribe was represented?
No, every group of people was represented. Able-bodied Levium didn't come. And therefore he punished the Levim. He punished the Levim by taking away their Meiser. Now, what did he do with that Meiser? What was his legal right to do that? Will all be discussed as we go along. Zok the Gemara. Itmar. Me'ma kunsu la'levim b'ma... Nobody is chayav mitzvah for eating Meiser Rishon.
Right. Now, but...
Ibn Azar is not chayav mitzvah. Meisu b'ay v'loy b'meiser.
So the question is, the Kohen would not get the mitzvah either?
I lost you.
He wouldn't get his mitzvah? It's the mitzvah to eat Meiser, right?
Where's the mitzvah to eat Meiser?
He's not?
No.
No, when he eats Meiser, he's got a mitzvah to eat Meiser?
Well, where does it say that? Where do you have that mitzvah?
Truma.
Truma might be a mitzvah to eat, but Meiser is no mitzvah to eat.
Why would...
The Mepharshim approach it that this was a thought-out Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah response. He was trying to get a message across to Rabbi Akiva, you are wrong for what you did.
Why do we assume it's a thought-out response without a hint of personal affront?
That's how the Mepharshim approached Tanoim, that they didn't react without thinking.
Moshe Rabbeinu, they're outside reactions. Why is this a joke?
That's what Harvey's saying, I guess.
Why are we so resistant to that? We're in the Chumash, we see that they're human, they're normal, stuff happens.
The only thing I can think of, again, I can only tell you my Hagasha. If somebody would tell me that Rabbi Leib Steinman insulted a person personally, I'd be taken aback beyond. I would assume a person of his stature never reacted in a way that was insulting to a person unless he meant it to be insulting for a reason, not as a reaction without thinking. That's what I would assume for Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, who was a millionth, or maybe less, of a Tana. So therefore, the approach is that these people were so great that everything they did was thought out. Now, there is a concept that people get angry, and the Gemara does discuss people that got angry, but it doesn't say here Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah got angry. It was a reaction. So therefore, we would think that people of that stature think before they talk. Think before they talk. They might get angry. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. But they would think before they talk. And that's the way I assume. No Tana talks without thinking. They don't react without thinking. And therefore, I mean, I would think much lesser people than Tanoim don't react without thinking. That doesn't mean they don't get upset. But they never would say anything without... Now, sometimes they have a reason to have a pointed, sharp line to get a message across that might be a little bit derogatory in its way it's given over. But that's because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is trying to tell Rabbi Akiva, why in the world are you getting involved? You're wrong. What are you doing this for? Go back to your thing, and I'll make a living anyway. You're not hurting me anyway. Again, did he have to say, why he decided to say that way, I don't know. But I think that's the approach to Tanoim.
It's not like Rabbi Akiva's opinion by itself. He has other people that are homeless.
Rabbi Akiva is the Rebbe of all those people. You know what I mean? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were contemporaries. Rabbi Meir is a student of Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Just pointing that out. So Rabbi Meir agrees to Rabbi Akiva is like saying, you know, a student agrees to his Rebbe.
That's part of it.
Old
shepherd or whatever he says.
And that has to be. See, the Chabad Chaim in Shmiras HaLashon tries to deal with the concept of this because it happens many, many times in Shas. He tries to deal with the concept of this. He brings different tshuvas about it. But again, the bottom line is going to end up that it was a calculated decision to say this. Exactly. The Chuvas, the Chavetz Chaim quotes the Chuvas Chavetz Yor, the famous Chuvas Chavetz Yor that goes through it. That, I mean, we find Rishaynim talking about other Rishaynim very, very, very sharply. Very sharply. It's not personal, it's just written as if it were personal.
Well, the
comment is definitely. I mean, Ezra refers to somebody who might not be a Rishon, I don't know who he was, who says that the pasuk says a shor of a man gores the shor of his friend. Now, that's the kigach shor ish shor re'eyu. One of the commentaries, the Ebenezer quotes, says it means a shor gores his friend the shor. Not a shor of the man's friend, but the friend, his friend the shor. And the Ebenezer writes, the only friend the shor has is the one that said that commentary. I mean, that's like a rather sharp way of expressing something, right? But it's a calculated way.
What is that? Why make fun of
the teacher? Yes, the questions are great questions. The only thing that I won't agree to, because I think these are such big people, is that it was uncalculated. That's all. It was a calculated. Why they did it, I don't have the answer.
These could have been compliments in a way, like, wow, he's acknowledging me in such a way that they're honored to be made fun of. I would be.
That's really good. Very charitable.
Nothing to matter. We are moving on now. It might may not come to Levim by Meiser. Why did they punish the Levim by Meiser? Now, this punishment has a machlokes how far it went. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you were allowed to give it to the Kohen before, the punishment was you can't give it to a Levi. No. They punished the Levim. That means once upon a time you could give it either to a Kohen or to a Levi, and they took it away from Levim. According to Mekiva, who you were only allowed to give it to a Levi, the knas was that now you can also give it to a Kayan. So the knas is one step away from the biblical. If biblically you can give it only to the Levi, came along the Ezra, and he made a knas to the Levium, and we'll find out why and exactly what the knas was. And he expanded it, and he said, no, you can give it to others besides.
Yeah.
Besides the Levi. How did he do it? Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. Bezen has a right to take money away from a person and give it to somebody else. It belongs to Levi, biblically. Ezra came along and said, I am taking it away from Levi. I have the power of Bezen to remove their ownership. And I am giving other people a right to it as well. Whoever that is, we will see in a moment. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you hold biblically you had a choice of Kayin or Levi. Came along Ezra and said, don't give it to the Levi. I don't want anybody to give it to the Levi. It should go only to that guy or to whoever you see in a minute to who. That's all. Now, a Levi's own Maiserishin was unaffected. Meaning, even after the Knas, the Levium, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, could keep their own Maiserishin. But nobody can give them Maiserishin, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. No longer are you to give it to the Levi. That was the knas. According to Bekiva, the knas was no longer is it the Levi's exclusively. So each one has the knas, depending on the biblical, will depend the knas. So well, why did they punish the Levi? The Maitre. Please give our address of the Sabbath.
My grandson?
Yes.
Who did he punish? The Levi that stayed in Bavel or one that came to Eretz Israel?
He punished the Levium because they didn't come to Eretz Israel. So even when they came later, they had a punishment on them.
In other words, they eventually did come to Eretz Israel, and that's where the Maitre took place.
Sooner or later, he went and got them. He needed Levium. In the Beis HaMikdash, they needed Levium. But he had to go get them. They didn't come voluntarily.
But not all of them came back from Bavel. I'm asking.
Not all Yidden came back from Bavel too, but Levium weren't represented. The Levium that came were Bali Mumim, were blemished Levium.
They were therefore punished.
Sorry?
Were they to be punished also among the other Levium?
Again, once it was a punishment, it was across the board. It didn't differentiate between this lady and that lady.
Okay, thank you.
We're taking a mitzvah. So is that just that the Levi's messed up? The person who had the crops also is being messed up. He's not getting a mitzvah anymore.
Yes, he is. He's doing exactly what Ezra Seifer told him to do.
What was he doing?
Listening to the rabbis.
That's very nice.
It's beautiful. And it's very beautiful. You're right. But Ezra Seifer said, don't do that. You don't blow Seifer on Shabbos or Shoshanah too. Why don't you blow Seifer when Shoshanah is on Shabbos? Mitzvah deraisa. You don't shake lulav when the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos. Mitzvah deraisa. They took away that mitzvah from you. Because we listen to the rabbis. They have a power to tell you not to do a mitzvah.
Why didn't they do that?
What? I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see anybody talk about it. See, there's a problem. They all deal with it. Some of them did come up. The blemished ones, right? That's what's bothering, I think it's my friend on the phone. That's bothering him. Why were they punished? They came. These are the people that were, these Levim that came up. The Gemara says in Kedushin, the people that came up were Maisei Nefesh. They were asked to play musical instruments in Bavo, and they gave up their thumbs rather than play the musical instruments for the Goyim from the Beis HaMikdash. And they came back. But the young, able-bodied Levim who were supposed to come up were not represented. Zero. So, Ezra was upset. Now again, he decided that punishment for Levi is in order. Something's wrong here. Now, why did he punish a whole shevet and he punished them permanently? It's not just for that generation. It was a permanent punishment. Forever and ever, till Mashiach comes, I don't know what will happen then, Levim don't get my submission, or don't get it exclusively, depending on what the punishment was. Absolutely. You're mechuyev to be mavrish my submission and give it. Well, we haven't had a chance to move on. We're trying to find out what it is.
They didn't take away that mitzvah.
Ezra
didn't tell
them,
you don't take.
No, of course you have to be mavrish my submission. It's tevo. Okay. No, but you don't get the mitzvah giving it to the right person. That's what he said.
Just to separate it.
That's a mitzvah. It takes away tevo.
No, I'm not
problem
with that, but there's two separate mitzvahs.
Pashtas, yes. So, Pligi Bar Rabbi Echad Vesavya. Chara Mishloi Alu Ezra. One said that the reason for the knas was because they didn't go up in the days of Ezra. The Chara Mekdesh Yismuchu Kahanim Alu B'mei Tumasam. They did it because the Kahanim couldn't eat Truma when they were Tameh, and they had no source of food. So we said, you know what? Give Kehanim the Maiserishin so they should have food while they're Tameh. Sakti Gemara, Bishlam of the Mazda Mishlayal Mishamachin Kinsidu. The Levim did something wrong, we punished them. And the Mazda Mishlayal Mishamachin Kinsidu. Mishim Kahanim Kinsidu Levim. because we want to give the kind of money, we take it away from the Levim? You take it, you rob Peter to pay Paul? Can't do that. You can't do that. Why you, the Kohanim need money. You're right. So therefore, take it away from the Levim? Elakula alma kenasa shalala b'me'ezra. Everybody holds that the reason is because they didn't go up in the days of Ezra. That's the reason that they took it away from the Levim. So what's the machlokes? B'hakim b'hakim iflagi. Who was it to give it to? Marsava knasa laniyim. Give it to poor people. Now the old Marsavishan is asur lazarim. You have to give it to poor kohanim. Or, according to Rabbi Kiva, poor kohanim or Levim. The Levim still could get it. Remember we said, the knas is one step down. According to Rabbi Kiva, that you have to give it exclusively to Levi. Now you have a choice. Kohanim, Levim, or poor, fill in the blank. If it's Mutal Lazarim, everybody. Na'asu Lazarim, poor kohanim. All kohanim are considered poor when they're tamei. Even rich kohanim have very little access to food when they're tamei, and therefore the knas was give it to any kohen. So everybody agrees the purpose is to give it to poor people. The question is how we defined that takana. According to one man, the Amar, they said give it to people that are genuinely poor. Now, according if you hold my submission is Mutal Lazarim, it could be any poor person. If you hold my submission is Asa Lazarim, it would have to be poor Kohanim. If you hold the other way, is they said, give it to Kohanim. Because all Kohanim when they're Tambay are considered poor. Even rich Kohanim. If you hold, this is you have to keep cheshbon. If you hold biblically, you have to give it to the Levi. Now, Ezra came along and said, you have a choice. You can either give it to the Levi, or you can give it to either poor or to Kehanim, Machlaikas. If you hold that you were allowed to give it to Kain or Levi before, Ezra came along and said, no more Levium, only Kehanim, either poor or every Kain. That's the question. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, they might come to Levium b'Meister. Lav le'ilkoi, not going back and before. The time of Hakam is Lav Meshim Knasa. The one that said you can give it to the Kayan had nothing to do with the Knas. Amishim the Kayanim nami Levium ikri, because Amram, he had a plastic, the Kahanim are called Levium. Of the Amram b'kama duchsen, b'shas, many places in Shas, it says, b'asa the kinsinu Ezra, that Ezra came along and made a Knas. Of the Masech the site the Tanan, in the Masech the site that we take it further. Yachin and Kain Gadol, Hevir Havadiyas HaMeiser. There was a mitzvah at the end of every third year to do Vidui Meiser. And he said, I gave it to the Levi, to the Kain, I gave everybody. Now, once you're not giving the Meiser to the Levi, you can't say Vidui Meiser. You're a liar. You said, Begam Nasat of the Levi. That's what the Pasuk says to say. You didn't give it to the Levi. So Yachin and Kain Gadol said, nobody should do Vidui Meiser anymore because it would be wrong. You're saying words that are not true. Because we're not doing it properly. Properly meaning the way the Torah wanted. But now you've been on the Kohanim. So Yechon Kohen Gadol came along and said, no more Vidui Meiser. It's over here, we're asking it. Why do we bring this Gemara here? It's nothing to do with our Gemara. It's a side issue. What happened after the Knas? Why is it over here? Because Mishim the Kabbai Lemifrach Alam Hadar Bekiva the Hadar Lepiskel the Gabi Kivri. Because why did Rabbi Kiva care for a Blasman as Arya takes it? After the Knas, a Kayan is entitled to it. The Gemara is going to ask that question momentarily. Why did Rabbi Kiva get upset at a Blasman as Arya? Why did he have to change the door to the Beit HaKlaris? It's after the Knas. They lived after Ezra. So the Gemara is going to ask the question. Since the Gemara wants to ask the question on that story, so it brings down the Knas and explains the Knas so it can lead into the question. That's why this Gemara is here. Rashi wants to preclude anybody from thinking that the Machloikas, Rabbazan, Razai, and Rabbi Kiva had anything to do with the Knas. They had a biblical Machloikas based on Sukkim. Do you give it to the Levi or do you give it to a Kayan? The Knas has zero to do with our Sukkim. We have nothing to do with the Knas, nothing to do with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was talking about whether Levi can eat, Yisrael can eat Meiser. We got involved in the Machloikas. Who you give it to? Fine, wonderful, biblically. All of a sudden, out of the blue, the Gemara comes and talks about the Knas. So, Trash, you know why it's here? Because we had a story where Rabbi Akiva did not allow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to take the Meiser. Now, after the Knas, why did he stop him? The Gemara is going to ask that question. In order to ask that question, it has to tell you, let's get involved in that Knas. Once we decide what the Knas was and how it works, we'll figure out, give the Gemara a chance, whether the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva story makes sense, which is what we're going to do. Yes, they were still being mafresh truma. It's very interesting that you bring that. It was right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They were still doing truma and ma'aser, whether biblically or rabbinically, it's a machlokes. Yes, but they were still doing it. They still do it today, but in those days, they were still giving it to people who eat it because they were still paraduma left. They were still becoming tahar. That had not stopped with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yes. They kept Tumatara for a while after the Beis HaMikdash. After a while, they ran out of Paraduma ashes, and that's when it went. But for a while, they were able to maintain that standard, even though there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash. Truma doesn't need a Beis HaMikdash. Maitrebishim doesn't need a Beis HaMikdash. Whether it's rabbinic or not, this is machlokes as we had earlier. Truma bismanas et rabbanon, Truma bismanas et deraisa, but they separated Truma and they ate a Betara.
Even
not very, I don't know how much longer after the Churban, but Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah are immediately within the 50, 60 years after the Churban.
Meiser Rishon applicable today?
They separated, that's so. People separated all the time. I honestly never figured out how to do it because I spent very little time in Eretz Yisrael. But people that go to Eretz Yisrael have a way, it's in the back of the sitter. How do you separate it? Yeah, the whole thing. They have ways of doing it. Again, I'm very unfamiliar with this because my total stay in Eretz Yisrael in my life equals about 6-7 weeks. So, and that's over all these years. So I'm not too big, and I used to never bought things only from stores that I trusted, and therefore I never did it. But all my kids, when they were in Eretz Yisrael, learned how to do this. And some don't trust the stores, and they do it themselves afterwards. You know, it's like a whole... Like the Ma, exactly. Like the Ma. See, officially the government does it. Officially the Rabbanus separates Trumas and Maestras of all produce that's grown in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, do we rely on them or not? So, no, because if they separated it, the Bracha Levatala.
Right.
So there's no Bracha. But officially, it's not a problem. The problem is that very few people rely on the system. Now, so there are different hechsherim, and that's when you pick your hechsherim that you rely on, that they do a good job or not. Like everything else, it becomes an issue. So in Eretz Yisrael, there's like 25 different hechsherim, and when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you ask your friend, where am I allowed to, which hechsher am I allowed to rely on, which hechsher am I not allowed to rely on. So those people who know how to do it don't have the problem. They can buy produce anywhere. They just re-meister it. They know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. But it's a simple process. It's printed in the back of Sidurim. They have a thing of doing it. It's not, since it's Tamar, you can eat it. We paskin meister ishin is mutil lazarim. So it becomes a monetary issue. Do I have to give it to the Levi or not? The answer is, I don't know, so I keep it. The only part is there's a trumas meister. There's a little bit that has to be disposed of, and there's a whole process. And again, I'm not familiar with the process, but I'm sure there are people in the next room over there, that maybe even here, that know exactly how to do it. I just don't know. Correct. Correct. Well, it is a huge knas when you were getting 100% of my submission, and now you're fighting. You're. It's open to competitors.
So then why did he change the door
and put it by the? We didn't get there. That's going to be the Gemara's question, which is why we brought this whole part of the knas in, so we can get to that question. It's a big shaila who this Yochanan Kohen Gadol was. There's a Yochanan Kohen Gadol in the Shas. that turned into a tzuki after being a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. The question is also a Yechin and Kohen Gadol, that we say, B'mei Matisyo ben Yechin and Kohen Gadol. So some learn it's the same Yechin and Kohen Gadol. That the Yechin and Kohen Gadol, who did all these takanas, and the Yechin and Kohen Gadol who turned into a tzuki, is one and the same person. And we have a lot of takanas that he made, and we're quoting him constantly. And he's Matisyo's father. And he turned into tzduki. Others disagree, and they say there were two Yechin and Kohen Gadol. There was the one who did all these takanas, who was Matisyo's father. And then there was a Yechin and Kohen Gadol afterwards, who was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years and turned into tzduki. A descendant, but he wasn't the one we talk about. So this is the big Machloikas. Right? So those who learn it was the same one, use it for a schmooze. Here is a person that made vast amounts of takanas. All those takanas that we still keep in Halakha. Right? He made a lot of takanas. He was Matisyahu's father, and he turned into tzduki. How unsure a person can be of himself. That's the schmooze they give. If you learn it's the same person. But if you learn it's two different people, there goes the schmooze.
Why?
That's right. But it's still not, it's still a little bit less of a schmooze. You're right, it's still true. He might have walked into the country because I 80 years and walked out.
Yeah.
8 years.
So he was well after Ezra?
He was pretty a few hundred years after Ezra. Dr. Gemara. So Bishlam and Lamanda, I'm learning the parentheses. Bishlam and Lamanda, I'm a Knas of Aniyim. Shemachi Hadjah Lebekiva, Lepiskel Lebekivri. The Knas was given to poor people. Either poor Kehanim or poor Yisraelim also, but no rich. Reb Lezman is like, you're rich. Why in the world are you taking my Tzarishin? Even after the Knas, you're not entitled to my Tzarishin. Elamand Amar Kehanim. But if you can give it to all Kehanim, they're all considered poor while they're Tamei. Amaya Hadjil Abiskel Lebekivri. So what should we keep in getting involved? Reb Lezman is totally within his rights to take my Tzarishin as a Kohen. So why is he stopping him? Bishlam, if you learn, it's only for poor people. Reb Lezman Azari did not qualify. He was over income. But if you learn, it's for all Kehanim. So what's Reb Akiva upset about? It's after the Knas. Everybody agrees that now you can give it to Kehanim, according to that man, the Amar. And for the Gemara, Hachi Kamerle. This is what Reb Akiva would say. If the cost is for Tyrus Knas Islach, if you're coming to collect it because of the Knas, I wouldn't stop you. But because it's Vataris Chaluka, remember, Reb Lezman is Ariel biblically is entitled to it. If you're coming for your biblical right, Leslach, I want you to know that you're wrong if you think you deserve it biblically. I don't know why you're coming to take it. What's your kavana? To do the biblical thing or to do the Knas thing? And therefore, I'm moving into the Beit HaKvaras to send you a message. You're entitled to it through a Knas. But you're not entitled to it biblically. Reb Lezer Zari's opinion was he's entitled to it biblically. So Reb Akiva was trying to tell him, no, you're not. So he said, listen, if you tell me you mean Knas, I would let you in. But if you tell me you're coming because you think you deserve it biblically, no, you don't.
How could Reb Akiva deprive him of it? I understand this is now a discussion between the highest level jewels of our history.
Exactly. I think what he was trying to get is you're wrong in halacha, and therefore I want you to do it for the right reason. Don't do it for the wrong reason. That's what I think he was trying to get a message
across.
Yeah, he knew it was how you felt he was allowed to have it biblically. So he just wanted to tell him you're wrong. You're not allowed to have it biblically. And if you think you're allowed to have it biblically, you're wrong. And I want to get a message across to you that you're wrong. Now, if you come and tell me that you're entitled for Knas, I'll move the door back. But don't come and claim that you have a biblical right to this.
If a poor person decided in their head that they were entitled to 50% of everything else, and they collected them, could I say to that poor person on the street, you know what, I'm not going to give you I'm not going to give you matzah at all. I'm not going to give you anything because you have the wrong. You think you're entitled to more of my stuff than me. No, I have a mitzvah to give. What's the he's depriving him. I know he's rich. Private of what he is.
If a poor person came over to me and said, I'm entitled to 10% of your money, can you give it to me? I would say, no, you're not entitled, I'm sorry. Here's $1.50, you have no entitlement to me. I disagree with you. Nobody has a right to come and tell me they're entitled, unless they are entitled.
The question is whether you have a right.
Again. Rabbi Akiva was saying to Rabbi Elazar, you come and tell me you're hungry, I'll give it to you, but that's not what you're telling me. Again. Dr. Rashi. El Rabbi Akiva, my time ahadre. L'man dam ha'knasit l'kahanim kaparach. Emisa z'takanta l'kahanim havi. Mi havi mahadre Rabbi Akiva l'pischa l'bei kivri? Why would he turn it to beis ha'kvaras? He nami the krubel of him, Siv. Granted that biblically, Rabbi Akiva held Rabbi Elazar has no right. Me Rabbi Akiva Labasa the Kinsinu Ezra Hava. He lived after the Knaas. The answer is, he was trying to get a message across. Now again, I want to just point out one thing before I move on, and that is, Knaasa La'aniyim would depend on whether you hold Maisa Rishon as Mutter Lazarim or Asra Lazarim. When we say give it to the poor, if you hold it's Mutter for everybody, the Knaas was give it to any poor. Kayan Levi Yisrael. If you hold that Yisrael can't eat it, then the knas was given to only poor kayanim. And the other one, the Amar said, you can give it to any kayan, and not to Yisrael. So it becomes, you know, that's the shaila.
Ezra didn't have the power to override that, the right. You can't give it to a czar. He didn't give it to him.
He can't override the rights of Isser to a czar. No. That would say, do an Isser. We're going to learn this in the 10th Perek. There's going to be three plot on this. The next sugya coming up in the 10th Perek. What are the rights of the Rabbanon vis-a-vis changing the Deraisa? We know they told you not to blow Shofar on Shabbos. But can they tell you to do something wrong? That's going to be a discussion in the first big sugya in the 10th Perek is about that. Three plot worth. About what the power of the Rabbanan are vis-a-vis changing the halacha in as far as biblical to rabbinic is concerned. How do you know the Levim didn't come up in Me'ezra? Now, I don't have the nekudas here. Is it Va'kaptzeim? Is that the pronunciation of the word? What? Va'ekbatzeim, and I gather them El Hanor Abba Al Heyu. Please correct me if my pronunciation is wrong. Ahava. I gather them to the river that comes to Ahava. V'nichnasham Yamim Shloisha. And we camped there for 3 days. V'avina Ba'am. And I looked into the nation. U'b'kahanim. And into the kahanim. U'b'nei Levi. L'metas Yisham. And I did not find any. The Gemara Kedushin explains any able-bodied B'nai Levi. Period. That's the source of why he punished them. How do I know that? The Pasuk says that Ezra said, "B'nai Levi le'matas yishav." Something in my right. Amar Rav Chisda. B'tchila lohayim amidim shaitrim elam and alaviyim. Once upon a time, in Klal Yisrael, those who enforced judgment, the shaitrim, we try to translate as the police officers, but were made from the Leviyim. Shinemar, the Shaitrim Halavim Lifnechem. So refer to the Shaitrim Halavim. Achshav, now that they didn't come up in the time of Ezra, they got punished by that is concerned as well. Eimamidin Shaitrim Elam Yisrael. Shenemar, I think it's the Shaitrim Harabim, the Shaitrim who come from the multitude, not from any specific Shevet, but a Sheikhim at your head. Rashi b'shaitim harabim b'rasheichem, the Ainu Yisrael, saying rabim levim, they're more than the levim. Fine. I think it's in Ezra. I'm not sure. I don't have it here. Maybe article tells you.
This is a different
different reasons for a separate knas?
Separate knas, seems like it. I'm sorry, I'm not sure. I'll be honest, I didn't spend time on this. It could be that it was a automatic default. If you don't have Levium around, you automatically have to appoint Shaitrim from somewhere else. Meaning, you need Shaitrim. If they're not here, you got to change the rules. Right? We used to appoint Levium, but they're not here. It might have been a consequence rather than a knas, but I'm not sure. It sounds in the Gemara that it was a knas, but In all honesty, if you're not here, I can't appoint you. What? Oh, it's not even talking about Ezra? Before that? What does it say? What does he say? I have no idea. I didn't do research. What does he say? That's what it was, the Levium. What happened was, Yerubim ben Nevat didn't, made his own Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Levium ran away from their cities and all went to Yerushalayim, to the Yehuda section. So they had no job, so they appointed them as Shaitrim. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's the problem. There's no such pasuk, but it's a combination of psukim, they say. On the side of my Gemara, it says pasuk zedle nimtza b'tanach. There's no such pasuk, but it happens a few places in Shas that the Gemara quotes a pasuk that doesn't exist, and the Rishayim say it's a combination of different words and different psukim that get that message across. Dr. Mishnah Weiter. Bas Yisrael shenitzes l'kayin teichu b'truma. A Bas Yisrael that marries a kayin can eat truma. Mate, if the kayin dies, b'lohe menu bein, and she has a son from the kayin, teichu b'truma. She can eat the truma. Meaning, the husband fed her truma, her son can feed her truma. Nitzes l'levi. She then subsequently goes and marries a levi.
She has our son.
She has a son from the Kayan, and now she married the Levi, Taichu B'Maiser. She loses the right of Truma because she's no longer considered just the mother of a Kayan. She's now the wife of a Levi, and she gets his halacha that supersedes the halacha of being the mother of the Kayan. Meaning, the right she had to eat because she had a son of Kayan is gone by the fact that she married the Levi.
What?
The Kayan is a Kayan. He doesn't lose his status.
So she can both keep Truma around for him?
He's a Kayan. Yeah, why not?
Well, because we have other cases where we don't let people...
Yeah, you mean that they make Xavier Drabana? We don't have such Xavier. Meis v'loya menu ben, the second husband dies, and she has a son from him, Taichu b'Maiser. Again, she can eat Maiser. We're going Maiser, reaching this Asa Luzarim. But she has a son, a Levi, who can feed her Maiser. But she can't eat Truma. Because by having a son from the Levi, her marriage to the Levi, quote-unquote, is continuing. That supersedes her first marriage to the Kayan. So we go by the latest marriage.
But until she has a son, she can
still eat Truma? No. While she's married, she can't eat Truma. Then her husband died. The Levi died. She has a son, a Kayan. 100%. She has a son of Kayan. She's not married to the Levi anymore.
She was a daughter?
She's a Bas Yisrael. She married a Kayan. That gave her a right to eat Truma. The Kayan died, left a son. She can still eat Truma.
It looks like it's developing a hierarchy of who affects her most.
Correct.
I'm just wondering, she has a father. She was born.
It doesn't help her when she gets married and has children. And or if she doesn't have children, she goes back home.
She has children, but
she has children. Again, who is her children? Kahanim or not Kahanim? So she cannot eat Truma, even though she's a Bas Kayan. She can't go back home. She has a child.
Because the
pasuk says, "Go." A woman that has no children goes back home. Only a childless woman. So basically what we're doing in this Mishnah is we say we go by the latest one. She was married to a Kayan, the Kayan died, she had a son from the Kayan, she continued with the Trumah. But then she married a Levi, that canceled her marriage to the Kayan. And now she's married to a Levi. He died. Now had she had no children from the Levi, she reverts back to her previous position as being the mother of a Kayan. But now she had a son from a Levi, she remained, quote-unquote, tied and bound to that Levi, overbound to her first marriage through her son of the Kayan. This is Leah Stroll. She gets married a third time. We're going to have to continue. I'm not going to...